conference over the course of the next 11 weeks, right up until Christmas, actually, we'll be unwrapping this amazing gift that John Piper referenced as we look at and allow ourselves to be moved by. I love what he said about that. It's not just for doctrine. They move us. Select Psalms between chapters 40 and 65. And so if you will turn with me this morning to Psalm 40, we're going to begin there this morning. Before we read it, I want to reemphasize something John Piper said in the opening video we just watched together. He said this, if you read the Psalms just for doctrine, you're not reading them the way they were meant to be read. They are songs, they are poetry, they are musical. They're meant to move us, not just inform us. My prayer for us this morning and for this whole series is that we, like King David, would let down our walls, remove our veils, and make ourselves vulnerable before you, God. That we would not, in our faulty attempts to hold it all together and save face, hide ourselves from how you want to move in our lives individually and as a church. But instead, Lord, may we be completely open to you as we believe you to use every teaching from every psalm in this series to change our lives. Thank you, Lord, that your word is alive, that it's active, God, that it's powerful here this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you see each and every one of us sitting here today. God, that you desire to come and to meet with and minister to us. God, we just say yes. We just say yes. Here we are, Lord. Come and minister to us through your word this morning. We love you. Amen. If you're at Psalm 40, I'm just going to read the psalm. Let's look at it together. I'm on the wrong psalm. Hold on. There we go. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust, and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, my ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. O Lord, you yourself know, I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, oh my God. Wow. What a powerful and poetic song poured out of and sang from the heart of David to his God. You know, we don't think about that very often when we read the Psalms, do we? Is that many of them are songs. These are David singing to the Lord. It's just amazing. It's as if this psalm were a vulnerable journal entry that was eventually put to music and made into a song. What's written in your journal? What vulnerable journal entries have you written during difficult times? Did you know that they are music to the very ears of God? In difficult times, when we communicate with the Lord and we journal different things in our journals when we spend time with Him, those very things, those writings, those things we say to Him in prayer, they are music to the ears of the Lord. He is attentive to every single one of our thoughts and our cries. He is absolutely amazing, isn't He? Okay, this morning I want to hone in on a specific portion of David's journal entry here in Psalm 40. We're going to focus in on verses 1 through 3 and look at the six stages of David's experience that he writes and sings about here. I think we'll find that we can relate to each stage and notice that we've been in or are currently going through the progression that we see here. So let's read again Psalm 40, 1 through 3. David says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry." This reminds me of, some of you guys may have heard a song by Corey Asbury from IHOP called "So Good to Me." And he sings Psalm 40. And he actually branches off into a couple other parts of different psalms that David wrote that are similar to this one. But it's an incredible song. I should have asked Jonathan nicely to sing it for us this morning, but I didn't. "So I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord." Here we see that, number one, David finds himself in a horrible pit. Two, he cries out to God for help. Three, he waits patiently upon the Lord. Four, God hears his cry, draws him out of the miry clay, and sets his feet upon a rock. Number five, God gives David a new song, probably the one we are reading here. Many others, and number six, many others come to trust God as they see this pattern in his life. We're going to look at those six things, this progression this morning. So number one, David finds himself in a horrible pit. Have you ever found yourself in a horrible pit? I think the answer we would all say is yes. Joseph did, right? Joseph did, quite literally, actually. He was put there by his own jealous brothers and then sold into slavery. But God saw him, God delivered him, and then God gave him incredible favor. How many times has God done that for you in life? Where you've been in a horrible pit, you've been in a horrible set of circumstances, and God sees you, He delivers you, and then He gives you favor. He is so good. For me, the year-long waiting period before moving here to Salford, to sunny Salford. Oh, the sarcasm. But for me, the year-long waiting period before moving here and the hardships that Brittany and I endured through it were like a deep, horrible pit. It was terrible. Thinking that we would be moving here in September of last year, we excitedly sold the majority of our belongings at the end of June, right after we arrived back to Kansas City from our first visit here to Mount Chapel into Manchester. Just a month after that, we got word that there was going to be a major delay in our ability to obtain our visas and our ability to sort of move along in the process that would eventually get us here. After that, it was as if we began to sink in the quicksand, if you will, of unfortunate circumstances. It was horrible. We were in this pit, and we felt like we were sinking in this quicksand of unfortunate circumstances. We had some financial things come up. There were all kinds of just different things that just hit us one after the other, and we're just taking blow after blows. It was not easy. But all the while, by the grace of God, we did the only thing we knew to do. We cried out to God for help. That's all we knew. That's all you can do as a believer when you're going through negative circumstances, when you find yourself at the bottom of a pit, right? In life, no matter what it is for each of us, the only thing we can do, the only response is to cry out to God and is to ask for help. And that's exactly what David does here in Psalm 40. He cries out to God for help, number two. More than maybe any other man or woman of God that has went before us, David was quick to cry out to God for help. Have you ever noticed that? That common thread through seemingly every psalm you read by David is him crying out to God for help. He wasn't afraid to ask for help, ever. And he went to the source every single time. He was continually going, "God, my enemies are against me. I need you. Whatever it was, whatever the circumstance was that was happening in David's life, he went straight to God and he cried out for help. In Psalm 7, he cries out, "Save me from all those who pursue me." In Psalm 10, he cries out, "Why do you stand afar off, O Lord?" Some of you may feel at times that God is sort of standing afar off from you and you can't feel him as near as you once did. I've been there before. We all get there at times. But David, let's just do what David did. Let's go to him in prayer and say, "God," we could be honest with him, can't we? We could be honest with him. "God, I can't feel you. Why do you feel so afar off?" In Psalm 12, he cries out, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases to be, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men." We could do the same when we look all around us and circumstances all over the nations of the earth are seemingly mounting against the kingdom of God. Let's cry out for help. In Psalm 22, he cries out, "Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I have no rest, yet you are holy." In the midst of all David's crying out, and these are just a couple examples. It would take us all day to mine every example of David crying out to God in his moments of need. David was well acquainted with his need. He knew that he had need after need after need after need after need. And he humbled himself over and again, over and over again, humbled himself, went to the Lord, expressed that need. Even in sometimes when you read the Psalms, have you ever been shocked by something that David says? You're like, "Whoa, you said that to God?" And then if you really sit on it, you're like, actually, David was just, he was so close to the Lord. He had such an intimate relationship with him. He believed God was who he said he was and that he was near. That he wasn't afraid to take anything to the Lord. And he wasn't afraid to be real, to talk real with the Lord. He didn't feel in any way, shape, or form that he had to conjure up some kind of religious rhetorical language to say to him. He just was real with him. However he spoke to his friends, that's how he spoke to his God. It's incredible. So like I said, these are just a few examples of how quick David was to cry out to the Lord for help. No matter the circumstance he found himself in, he almost always ran to God for help in the midst of his need. As many of you know, one of the hardships that we faced in our season of waiting before moving here was losing our first child. And I've told this story in part before, and some of you have heard it in more detail, but I remember this. I remember Brittany crying out, "This is horrible, this is horrible," while we were in the hospital, and it absolutely was. It was terrible. But somehow, but by the grace of God, even in the midst of all the pain, in the midst of the crying out, she was comforted in that moment with a deep knowing that God was still good. The Holy Spirit came, strengthened her with might through him in her inner man, and comforted her in that time of need. Only by the grace of God, obviously. Knowing that, though, was not in no way a cure-all. So knowing that God was still good in the midst of that horrible circumstance that we found ourselves in was in no way like this cure-all. Like we're just like on cloud nine and we're good to go. Nothing can defeat us. And there's some people in the body of Christ that I think overemphasize that. And in those moments, like, "I was touched by God, so I don't have to grieve ever. I don't have to deal with anything." And that sounds good, and it is possible to some degree. But the reality is there's a tension there, isn't there? Where we can feel on cloud nine because the Lord has strengthened us in the midst of our need. But at the same time, we need to grieve and keep coming back to that thing that He strengthened us with in the beginning. And that's what Brittany and I did. We grieved. We absolutely had to grieve. We knew that the Lord had drew near. He had comforted us. But we also had to grieve. And we had to pour ourselves out like David did in the Psalms. And say, "God, what's going on?" I just love, again, I'll just restate this. I love just how real David was in the Psalms. You know, Brittany and I had to keep coming back to this peace that the Lord gave Brittany in the hospital. We had to keep coming back to that as we grieved and had to continually cry out to Him for help. Number three, he waits patiently on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is something we have all done, isn't it? Who in here has waited on the Lord for something? For maybe answered prayer. Maybe we're believing the Lord to for circumstances to happen where somebody in your life would get saved. For healing. For financial increase. We've waited on the Lord for many things. Those are just a couple. It's something we've all done. It's something many of us are doing now. And it's something we'll have to do again at some point in the very near future. We never get away from having to wait on the Lord. It doesn't. We don't get away from it with age. We don't get away from it. We're always finding ourselves in a new season where we have to wait on the Lord. And partially, it's because the Lord has designed that waiting period to do stuff in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives that can't happen in any other set of circumstances. I believe that wholeheartedly. So it's a continual aspect of every devout Christian's life. Waiting is inevitable, but waiting patiently, that's a whole different story, isn't it? Waiting is inevitable. We're all going to go through it. It's going to happen. But to be patient in the waiting, well, let's just be honest, that's not so easy, is it? Patience in of itself is a hard thing to have, isn't it? To have patience in seasons of waiting is only possible if we rest in the rock that is higher than us. In our season of waiting, before moving here, there were times when we were patient and there were times when we were extremely anxious. Here's the beautiful thing, though. God knows us so intricately. He knows us so well. He knows that we can't achieve this 100% patience status that we're just going to be in all the time. He knows we're human. So he is patient with us, isn't he? He's patient with us even when we lack patience. He's patient with us even when we lack patience. Thank you, Lord. The beautiful part about this is that as we went to God in the midst of our anxiety, God then brought us peace and used it to teach us more patience. So even when we're anxious, when we go to Him with our anxiety, He uses the lesson from that anxiety to give us peace and to teach us more patience. Isn't He wise? We serve a wise God. Thank you, Lord. Our season of waiting was about 1 year long. From the time of His anointing to the time when He was crowned king, King David's season of waiting was about 15 years long. And, you know, there's times when I've been tempted to look at this sort of this year before we came out here and sort of be like, woe is me, and you know, get caught and lost in sort of a whirlwind of self-pity. And then I think about many others that I know personally and many other people throughout biblical history who have endured way longer seasons of waiting than me, you know? And David is surely a very, very good example. Number four, God draws him out of the miry clay and sets his feet upon a rock. I remember exactly where I was when, after losing our child, the Lord began to draw me out of the circumstantial quicksand I was in by giving me deep revelation and hope in the fact that I would see my child again. I was driving home from dropping a friend off, and some of you may have heard this before, but I was driving home from dropping a friend off, and I was going home. I thought I was going to go home and be depressed, to be honest with you. I was not doing well. It was just a couple days after we had lost our baby. And I'm driving home, and in a complete, like, funk. I like that word. I was in sort of a complete funk, and out of nowhere, the Holy Spirit, I was listening to some music. The Holy Spirit just comes upon me and enables me to praise. Like, I'm talking, I went from being, like, completely depressed to all-out praise. Like, high praise. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive all honor, glory, power, and dominion. That kind of praise. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. I mean, I went from being completely out of it to completely in it by no strength of my own, by no merit of my own. And I just began praising the Lord in the car, just worshiping. And as I'm worshiping, I remember just thinking of our baby. And I say to our baby, what is it that I said to our baby? Someone help me. Yeah, it was from Psalm 139. I basically said to our baby that you can't be with us now, but we're going to see you soon. And that's not the exact thing. There was more, but I can't remember it right now. It's okay. But I spoke to our child. And while I was speaking to our child, I had the revelation that this isn't it. That there really is a resurrection of the dead, and I'm going to see my baby again. And it was amazing. The Lord just encouraged my heart. He gave me strength in the midst of my weakness. He gave me peace in the midst of my inability to understand what was going on. He gave me deep joy in the midst of one of the worst times of my life where I was mourning. And this joy was like overflowing. I mean, it totally shifted things for me. Totally shifted things for me. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. The Lord set my feet upon the rock of revelation, who is His Son, Jesus. And a divine exchange took place in that moment. He gave me, like I said, His strength for my weakness, His peace for my understanding, His joy for my mourning. And He put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise to my God. So it was with David many times over. And we have countless worship songs today because of this, don't we? Written out of the Psalms. Number 5, God gives David a new song to sing. It's very likely that this psalm is the song God gave David to get him through what he was going through here. After the incredible encounter I had with God while driving home, I went home, I picked up my guitar, and I began to sing to the Lord. And He gave me a new song to sing as well, just like He did David. The song we ended up calling Our Joy. And it ends with Brittany and I singing this. We sing, I will not run from you. I will run into your arms. I will run into your arms. I love this quote from John Piper. He said this, the church ought not merely sing the songs of yesterday's saints. There ought to be new songs. And they ought to come from you. Because God has put them in your mouth. Isn't that beautiful? There ought to be new songs, and they ought to come from us because of what God is doing in and through our lives and because He puts them in our mouth to be sang. He doesn't put them in our mouth to be hidden, does He? What songs has God given you? What songs have been hidden in the pages of the journals of the people of Mount Chapel? I bet there are many. Let's hear them. Let's hear them. Jonathan's writing some, but surely there's more. I know James has written some. And there's many of you that have others. And not even just actual songs, but just songs of praise from our heart. Poetry. There's loads of different ways to express these songs of praise. It's not just what we would consider a typical song, is it? But let's hear them. Let's record them. Let's express them. Let's allow them to be used to encourage others and to help others place their trust in God in the midst of whatever it is they're going through. See, God wants to use what you've been through to encourage other people in what they're going through. Because when the circumstances are similar, people can relate to that, right? How many times has a brother or sister in the Lord came alongside you, knowing how you feel with whatever it is you're going through and been able to encourage you and strengthen you in that moment? How much more God when we run to Him? How many times over has God, when we go to Him, encouraged us and strengthened us in the midst of our need? He is good. Number 6, many come to trust God as they see this pattern in David's life. You see, David's life and the way in which he ran to God and not from Him, no matter the circumstances, it was and is today a massive testimony to the faithfulness of God. David's life was a massive testimony to the faithfulness and the goodness of the Lord. And many saw and heard this incredible pattern in David's life and were deeply encouraged and challenged by it. Then and now and forever. How many times have you read something that David went through and then read sort of his cry to the Lord and then his praise to the Lord and felt like, oh my gosh, it's me. Exactly. I mean, you almost can't read the Psalms and not do that. It's just amazing. So what do we do when we find ourselves in the horrible pits of life? We cry out to God and wait patiently upon Him because we know that He will deliver us, set us upon the rock, and give us a new song to sing. Can you guys stand with me this morning? You know, too often I think that we unintentionally place trust in earthly things and in other people. And we place hope in earthly things and in other people in the midst of things that we're going through. And obviously we need to be in community. We need to be able to talk with other people. That's not my point. My point is, how much more should we be running to the Lord and placing our trust in Him? Psalm 146, 3-5 says this, "Do not trust in princes, in mortal man, in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs, he returns to the earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord his God." In Matthew 11:28, Jesus said this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest."